The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Came from the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino.
How's everybody doing?
And who came back from Parts Unknown 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah, I'm 2 weeks straight. Yeah.
Right. And from Parts Unknown once again, we have Herman, as we like to call him, Shemp Sinertia here.
Why Shemp?
Because it's the fourth one. You got Mo, Larry, and Curly, and Shemp. You were Shemp.
Oh, okay. He is the phantom.
Did everybody miss me?
No.
So, I'm busy. My daughter's getting married. Go ahead.
How long does it take to get married? Because
well, I have to break up the fights with her sister.
She's been getting married for forever. She was getting married when we started the show 10 years ago.
Right. No,
that's how long she's been getting married. So welcome back from Parts Unknown.
Thank you, Mark. Good seeing you.
And maybe from Parts Unknown is going to be Hassan Goblin, because he sent me a message that there's trouble in Manhattan. So he
Oh, my God. Isn't that a story? He's
like Bane. He's fighting Batman? What is he doing?
I don't think he's fighting Batman. But he should be here shortly. So as far as I know, he should be here shortly. And if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us in high definition on the web camera, which is right next to the Listen Live button.
How you doing?
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811.
I'd like to say hello to my friend Heidi out in Buffalo.
Hi,
I miss
Heidi.
Her. And she's a listener to the show. Also, my good friend Diane, who got in touch with me through the show.
Yeah.
After 35 years, we are getting back together again.
So she waited 35 years to contact you.
Well, we didn't have a show.
Did I play
that
wedding?
That was it.
Did I do her wedding?
Yes, you actually played the organ at her wedding reception. Not the reception, the ceremony.
Yeah. Really?
But that's till later on.
Yeah.
Wow, how about that? So
the possessed organ.
Yes.
Last week, if you recall, Charlie.
I recall.
I was prompted to do the sad part of the news first.
Right.
And then to see what you guys are going to do with that.
So. Right. I said, me and Hassan agreed it can only go up from there.
All right.
So are we doing that?
Yes. We're going to start off with the sad news.
Okay.
This week.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Renowned director Tony Scott was found dead after committing suicide in San Pedro, California. Tony Scott was best known for his numerous hit movies as Top Gun, True Romance, and Crimson Tide. A suicide note was found in his car by the police after he jumped off the bridge. And it seems that he had inoperable brain cancer. So why he jumped off. And he's also happened to be brother of director Ridley Scott.
Wow.
So that's...
But wouldn't you...
So that's yes, Hassan.
So
okay.
So good.
All right. So that's it. No. All right.
I got.
All right. I got more. More sad news.
Okay.
Revolutionary comedian Phyllis Diller was found dead in her home. Phyllis Diller was known most for her outlandish sense of humor and her verbose laughter.
Well,
she started her career in stand-up at the age of 35 in 1952.
Yes.
She was considered to be one of the leaders for women in comedy.
She is revolutionary for women in comedy.
And, yes. It was reported that she died peacefully in her sleep. She was 95.
How did they know if they found her?
Because
they found her in her...
Because they said that there was a smile on her face when they found her.
Wow.
So maybe she's still alive,
she
but that's the way she looks.
So classic for a comedian of that magnitude to go like that. Seriously, I'm not even kidding around. Because she was a trailblazer. I mean, if you listen to Roseanne Barr, Roseanne Barr almost copied her style.
Yeah, from that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. So we got more new, more sightings.
Go ahead. Oh,
wow. Let me see. I have that one.
Okay. We're at the stage in the news already. I missed that much of the show.
No.
No, no. She's starting first.
Started with
it, as per our request.
Yes.
I see.
Like, yeah.
Forgive me.
That's right. Don't let it happen.
It's been a week. It's been a long week. Trust me.
For those of you fans of Star Trek, William Wyndham passed away at the age of 88.
All right. Yeah. Decker. Commodore Decker.
He was known for he's been in roles such as Twilight Zone, To Kill a Mockingbird, My Word, Welcome to It, The Americanization of Emily, The A-Team. He had a recurring role on Murder, She Wrote, She's Having a Baby, Ally McBeal, and Jag. But of course,
so he hasn't been that busy.
What else? You missed one.
What did I miss?
Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
It's not on here.
It's not on his list.
He's the mayor.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you positive?
Yes.
He's got a. Does he have an ape mask on? Because we won't be able to verify.
No,
that.
When they come back to
Escape
time.
From this, the third one. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the one with the.
I think the mayor or the governor.
Ricardo Montalban.
He was a politician.
He played a politician.
He was.
Cornelius killed a guy with a tray.
So he was 88.
That was a vivid memory for me when I was a child.
And that's all I have for the sad news. Do you have any sad news?
Yeah. No, that was it. I was going with William Wyndham.
Hey, I got it all this time.
Yeah, but you forgot one more thing.
Now the news.
You forgot one more thing. They found another suicide note.
See, the smile on his face.
Tony Scott's car.
Before he
wanted to jump off the bridge, he wanted to light himself on fire and run in front of a freight train.
See, I knew. Because
there's more than one note?
I guess.
No, he's joking.
From the desk of Herman Sinertia.
Forgive me.
There was a second note.
You know, Herman Sinertia's desk has got cobwebs on it, right?
Except for that one note.
It's like an inch thick of dust on there.
You jumped.
I go in there and I get it like hay fever. That's why I don't go in.
People sit in his chair, they never show up again.
Exactly.
It's like the Jerome and Spinal Tap.
All right, so let's moving on with the
news. Yes, see how we only go up from there. Yeah,
yay.
So we're gonna go to the shameless portion.
Oh Lord,
I'm shameless.
I love the.
Gonna talk about your interview.
Yes, I was an interviewed
by
unwinnable.com.
That's great.
John McQuire. I met him at the Philly Con. He was gracious enough to do an interview. So you know, go check out that site. It has a lot of other cool stuff on it. But my interview's on there.
Yeah, but definitely go check out my interview.
And right? I also quoted Hassan in the interview.
So
you can go take a look at that and find out what the quote is. So
I'm terrified.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, it's probably something bad.
Also,
it's gotta be something bad.
I saw Batman.
Also, that's not really well. Also, Herman Sinertia saw Batman.
You saw Batman.
There wasn't enough Batman.
You saw Batman Returns.
No,
you saw Batman and Robin. Did you see Batman Forever? Did you see Batman Begins? Which Batman did you see? Oh, there you go. There you go. Lock it down.
Maybe.
There's been a couple of Batman movies.
Maybe. He didn't say he saw the movie. He said he saw Batman. He was walking along, and Batman came
by. He just saw him. He was at 7-Eleven.
I saw Batman walking. I saw Lon Chaney walking with
Slurpee.
The queen.
Exactly.
Getting a Slurpee for a dollar. Him and Batman.
Werewolves.
Herman.
Superman's going out with Wonder Woman.
His hair was perfect.
Right. All right. So more along the lines of shameless promotion. We here at It Came From the Radio, as many of you know, that I
none else, of us know what you're about to say, so you can't actually start this with we here, because we don't know what you're going to say.
I'll go with him, because I got a boring life. But
we are going to be at the New York Comic Con.
Hopefully.
Yes, we are.
Coming up.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully.
And thanks to the awesome guys at the New York Comic Con.
Thanks to them awesome guys.
In the upcoming weeks, we will be giving away free passes to the New York Comic Con.
Free.
So
you don't realize what that is, folks out there, but that is monumental.
Yes.
Free passes to the Comic Con. The monumental Comic Con.
Those things are expensive.
Those are a little pricey.
Comic Con we love.
You know, those are a bit pricey.
And it's well worth it. It is now the second biggest convention in the entire United States. So that's a big deal.
And it should be.
They are gracious enough to let us give away passes. So we'll be doing that in the upcoming weeks. So pay attention to our show and our website for more information. And also at the Comic Con, as we mentioned when the Loaded Barrel guys were here, RZG Comics, who made my comic, the Phaser Sunburst crossover, they are going to be having a model dressed up as my character.
And who is that character?
Sunburst.
Yes.
So, nice. So to spread out the word, anybody listening right now who happens to
be between
the height of 5'4" and 5'7" and Caucasian, and we're looking for a redhead, let us know. Contact us at the show at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And hopefully you'll be in the running to be a Sunburst at the convention.
Red hair, a plus.
Yes. And it's funny, I already had put out, you know, some postings, and I got some feedback back, and I got one person who's not Caucasian, and she was a African-American woman. So obviously someone is not reading the information that I put out there. So,
oh, but no.
Caucasian.
Now you're saying that the people that came from the radio discriminates.
From
you just announced,
we discriminate. We're discriminating
against people who don't follow directions. You got to be very careful with the verbiage.
There's people who do not follow directions. So yes, make sure you do that. And
so African Americans need not apply.
Yes, African Americans need not apply.
Okay, you just committed a crime, by the way.
if we're casting for a white girl,
nope, too late.
If we're casting for a white girl, you gotta study the guidelines. Casting.
You have to study those guidelines.
So good news for that. And I think
it's not really that good news. You're gonna get some fat chick. Welcome, fatties. Fatties need not apply too, right? Did you write that down?
No, I did not.
You did?
Oh,
I put down.
Why? You gotta write it down if you're being specific. You gotta be specific.
Well,
if you're being specific, fatties need not apply.
Cross dresses need not apply.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Guys dressed like girls need not apply. You gotta lay it down there, Mark. That's why it's a slippery slope. You can't start mocking one because everybody else comes out of the woodwork.
We'll see what happens.
I can't wait. I'm gonna film it.
Right now, yes, we're gonna
see now.
And I've also planned to have the winner who's cast and rolled to be on our show. 2 weeks before.
Yay. Probably not fat or black.
See, now,
I'm just going by what you're saying.
I didn't. We're looking for the person to best suit the role who is Caucasian.
Who's not fat or black.
All right. Now you need to create a character called Moonglow that could be any nationality in the world.
So you want a ginger.
Yeah. Moonglow.
There you go.
All right. Now moving on to the regular.
Move on quick.
Yeah, the shame of Zeus. I'm going to start another show to make fun of this show.
You did say you were going to make the comic book expert way back when.
Huh? Yeah.
So the comic book expert.
Yeah.
So what is this show going to be?
It's called Why Did It Come From the Radio?
It's going to be It Should Go Back Into the Radio.
It's going to be Came From the Radio in a Nutshell.
No, Why Did It Come From the Radio?
Yeah, why did it come from the radio? Where did it come from?
From the desk of Life Imitating Art.
Wait a minute. We have a department that says life.
Yeah, look at the little guy in the corner over there.
Who's the chairperson of the Life Imitated Art?
It's Fred.
Oh my God! We got to get rid of these desks. That's what the problem with the show is. It's not a finely oiled machine.
His name is Arthur.
It turns out that an unnamed person decided to break into a home. In Hollywood.
Like you do.
In Hollywood, like criminals tend to do.
That was ripped torn, and he thought it was his house.
he ripped it and torn it.
But it turns out
that this house
was owned by none other than LL Cool J.
Oh.
Who promptly
beat the crap out of that guy. Really?
Handled the situation.
Seriously?
There you go.
That's awesome.
And as they say officially, he held him until authorities arrived.
Wow.
So
he doled out a little LL justice right there.
42 times.
He fell down the steps.
So
I felt down.
All you criminals out there, don't break into
LL Cool J's house.
Well done, LL Cool J.
That's right. He didn't get shotgunned.
He looks like my brother.
You broke into my house, you got shotgunned.
That's right.
I wouldn't ask who it was. It'd be Mark coming in late, you know. You tell him I could stay here anytime I want. Bang. No, you got to call ahead.
That's legal, too.
You didn't call ahead. Look at you now.
Yeah, now look, you're dead.
I have one under the couch.
You hurt bad.
That mom, now,
it came from the radio with Hassan Godwin.
Well, the ghost, me and Charlie the ghost.
The ghost of my, yeah.
Yes, who was in the bathroom.
Yes.
I'm not going. I'll go in the car.
That's good to know.
Thank you for that information.
That's good.
All right, moving along.
Okay.
Based on the comic book arc, the Wolverine, the samurai story, it has been publicized.
Done by whom? Whom?
Was it Frank Miller?
Yes. Frank Miller and?
And some guy.
Chris.
No.
Claremont.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Frank no? Miller. What do you, nope. What do you know?
I'm not a fan of Wolverine.
Handed you. Who you got to know Chris Claremont is? I just handed it to you on a platter, comic book novice.
Nope. Nope.
Some show.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah, I just sit here sometimes.
You are terrible.
We don't know the
you just lost your geek card.
It has been announced by Marvel Studios. Well, actually, by Marvel Studios that Fox will be making the Wolverine sequel following that particular storyline to distance themselves from any other story and yet have it as a self-contained product.
Well, I don't understand something. Who owns Marvel? I thought Disney owns Marvel.
Disney owns Marvel, but they do not own the
Sony's
rights.
Sony's doing stuff.
They don't own the film rights. Yeah. They don't have the legal right to make the film of certain characters because Marvel had sold them off before Disney bought them out. So now they have to wait till the contract expires or the company decides to give it back to them. As of right now, there are talks that they're going to give back Daredevil to Disney to make a new Daredevil movie. But
starring Ben Affleck.
But Sony is holding on to that Spider-Man property because it's money to be made.
Yeah. So that was a good one.
And this is our section of corporate
America. The new Spider-Man
America.
Was a good one? Huh? Stop talking, Herman.
Okay.
You like Batman, you like Spider-Man.
No, I didn't like Batman.
He didn't like Batman. He did not appreciate the flavor of Slurpee that he got at the 7-Eleven.
And another thing, the Avengers, too much on that flying aircraft carrier, too much lingering on that.
Yeah, you get a flying aircraft carrier, you want to shoot it as seldom as possible. You want to not showcase it ever.
You know what I appreciate about Herman?
It must be a lot.
He was gone for 5-6 months, right?
And it's like he never left.
And no, but he wants to catch up on all the episodes that he missed.
During the news.
I missed all this stuff, but I gotta get it in. My one time I'm gonna be here in the.
I don't know gonna be one time.
How do you know gonna be here?
Because you said
I may not be here in another 4 years.
But next, yeah. So I gotta get it all in now.
Just call me the fan.
It's like you come in, you do your shtick, and then you know you gotta make sure you get it all in there, and then you leave.
Just call me the fan.
Not to be
seen. Like my honeymoon.
Not to be seen.
Oh. That's what I think. Again. That's from the desk of the world, according to Herman.
Man.
Arp.
All right, moving along.
Move along. If he had moved on already, we'd be done with this. Who
Move
died?
Along.
Make someone up.
In the most
Mrs.
recent...
Faversham died.
Make someone happy.
Faversham.
Run, Mrs. Faversham.
In the most recent DC universe, as we are well aware
the Stinky
of,
universe.
They have decided to remake all the characters in what is called the New 52. This is now the second year of the New 52 universe, where they erased all continuity to start anew to try and get a new readers. And in this new world, it seems that Superman...
Yes, with the
is now he's officially with Wonder Woman.
He's dipping his pen in the company ink right there.
Yes, and Jeff Johns, who is the writer, says that this is the new status quo. It is not a gimmick. It is not something for
It's not
sales.
A gimmick.
It's a comic book, but it's not
Come
a gimmick.
On.
It's
nope.
real, man.
Yeah.
It's real.
This is real as comics yet.
No, it's not.
It is going to be the status quo from now on. So it's you know, yeah. So long, Lois Lane. Hello, Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Well, Lois, probably old.
She's old.
Wonder Woman and Superman don't age.
Right.
Wonder Woman.
Superman ages.
No, you don't.
Not really. Not like normal people. He gets like a little gray in 100 years.
He's an alien.
He aged normally from from Superboy to Superman.
Once he hits puberty, he stops aging.
All right.
That's what you got? Don't fight me if you don't have any facts.
Well, sure.
I'll make facts up that sound like facts.
So there you go with that. And speaking of DC,
Mr. Sinclair.
Betcha Lois is all fat now. She's a fatty. And that's why Wonder Woman is.
And she don't have red hair.
Wonder Woman's in, Lois is out. Don't be fat.
Rob Liefeld, the superstar of
superstar. Okay.
Has decided to announce that he's walking off of three books that he was working on in the new DC, in the new
What a shame. There are actually a chance those books are going to get good now. What are we going to do?
He was probably working on a movie. Hawk and Dove. And then he went to Deathstroke.
Crap and Dove.
And then he went to the Savage Hawkman and Grifter, where he was writing and penciling all three books.
Oy.
And he is
quoted still let that guy pencil.
As saying, this is the fourth time I quit in the last 4 months. And
what's
this
wrong
time,
with them?
It will stick.
What? This time it will stick.
Yes, yeah, so that means he quit for good this time. He's not coming back.
Why did he keep coming back if he
I'll
quit?
I'll show them. I'll quit.
It's me, maybe.
They kept offering him more money.
Maybe.
You know, another thing, Loki maybe looked like some out of a bad 1980s band.
Did he elaborate on why he quit?
He goes,
he must have, because he's such a, you know, a piece of
back,
work.
I believe
that he had to tell whose fault it was.
I believe in what DC is doing with the new 52.
I don't care.
But this is to preserve my sanity. I walked off of all three books, and I can't wait to see any attempts to spin the information that I did. I have every email, so he's waiting for DC to make a comment as to why he quote unquote quit, as opposed to being fired.
But he doesn't explain why he quit himself.
No, he does not.
To save his sanity.
He does not say. He does say, don't look for any tell-all interview with me. Just follow his Twitter feed, and the best stuff will be shared on that. So, you know, if you want to find out why the great, quote-unquote, Rob Liefeld has quit the business again,
find out.
You have to follow his feed.
We should sign up and follow Rob Liefeld.
Oh, wait for it.
Do you remember?
Loki looked like something out of a bad 1980s band. And the way he died or got knocked out or something. That was atrocious.
He's one of the worst pencilers I've ever seen. And I used to really like him when I was a kid.
I remember how his artwork was torn apart by everybody, yet it was incredibly popular.
It's popular the way everything else is popular, the way music today is popular, because nobody knows what the heck they're talking about. Nobody's educated in any form of anything. So anything they see that looks glossy and someone else tells them is hip, they're just going to glom onto it and say, oh, I guess this is hip. Now I'm hip because I know the hip stuff. So without an educated audience, crap like his is definitely going to become mainstream.
But then,
and it's easy because it's brainless. You don't have to have any kind of sense of aesthetic to appreciate it. You don't have to know anything to know what's going on. And you can follow
it. You just have to be a sheep.
Corporate greed.
But and then it's a lack of intellectualism. Why do they keep on hiring him then?
Huh?
Why do they keep on hiring him?
What did I just say? He sells books.
It's an instrument.
So much like Michael Bay, as I've brought up this point before, he must be doing something right if he's selling books.
Here's the thing. I don't even understand why. He's audacious. That's what he's doing right. His audaciousness. I'm here. You know me. You have to love me. Blah, blah, blah. And then all it takes is one or two guys behind the scenes to say, yeah, I guess so, and give him a shot. And then his charisma take care of the rest. Like Katy Perry, is one of the worst singers I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
One of the worst. I don't care what anybody says. It's not came from the radio. It's just me. She's one of the worst singers ever. I sat through a concert. Don't ask me why.
There's so other people. Actually there went
right there. There was other. No, it was on television. There were other people involved.
I thought
I was going to elaborate. If you jump all over me. And I sat there and just was in awe of like one song after another with these really saccharine pop pieces of crap that weren't even clever, that had no nuance to them whatsoever.
But did you see our audience though?
It doesn't matter, but I mean, that's
it's
the thing.
Cirque du Soleil.
If it was back in the day, like when Debbie Gibson and these other people were popular with the kids, they were put into a category. It was like, oh, yeah, she sings that kind of music to kids. She sings this kind of pop music to kids. And she was, unfortunately for her, because now she's in the Megashark.
Yeah. That's great.
Unfortunately for her, she was categorized as that particular person, and nobody took her as seriously as maybe they took Madonna or Michael Jackson or whatever. Nowadays, right. some schnook comes along and, you know, sells a half a million, a billion records, and now suddenly they get to weigh on in on political issues and have, you know, yeah. like you have actual news shows tuning into her to get her opinion on whether we should save the sharks or whatnot. And it's like, who? Wait a minute. Why do I care what she has to say?
Well, I'm very concerned what she says on the proactive commercials.
Well, let me tell you something
about zits. Okay,
and that makes sense. Yes, that's selling. That's selling to her demographic.
Me and my wife was watching Justin Bieber. It looks like strings were attached to him. The way he moved, looks like he was a marionette.
It's
you
a
know,
completely different.
He's that kid is scary. Yeah. Really,
he's trying.
He can't
he's
hold
trying.
A note.
He's trying.
I'm
he's,
not trying.
He's helping. Ooh. He's helping you. He's on your side.
What do you mean I'm trying. No, this is my opinion. Justin
no,
Bieber.
No, he was saying that it wasn't the same. Thing that
yes,
point
Mark
that he was
is saying
make,
you're making
you
the same.
But you were agreeing with him. So
yes,
was...
they go in the same categories. This Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, just can't
artificial
stop
music.
I never even try. Whenever he starts to go, you notice I just tune right out. Right, I'm like, oh,
I'm saying something that's valid.
You're it's, right, no and what no Mark's saying, I'm going into this now. Right. I'm jumping into right. the mix. Right. What Mark's saying is, you are saying something valid, and you're agreeing
and
with
is saying something
which
valid.
You're agreeing with Hassan in that genre.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. I think we're ready for a break right now.
Yeah, please. Let's have a break.
I miss Trevor. How are you, Trevor? Last week I come in and Trevor's listening to some sounds and we were just grooving. This white boy from Brooklyn was grooving to whatever
Trev,
you were playing.
You glad
it was
I'm
great.
Here? You missed me, Trev.
Like the plague. Yeah. Like the plague, he told
with
me.
With every bullet so far.
Yes. Let me right back if you came from radio.
Like that one. Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
That was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back where we came from radio. It's your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Hassan Godwin, Charlie Saladino, and Herman Chimpson.
From the black hole vortex. Herman Sinertia.
So since this is a Herman show.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
I am going to do my best.
You know whatever question you have, it's going to be the Herman show.
I am going to do my best to talk about Expendables 2 this week.
What?
Yes, Expendables 2, as I mentioned last week and the week before.
I still didn't hear you. What?
Expendables Part 2.
Oh, okay. The good thing I saw it.
So I know that Hassan refused to see
the
sequel.
Yes, he did.
To Expendables.
Well, they forgot
to. He refused to see the sequel because he was very sorry he saw the first one. Right.
And yet you saw the other two Transformers movies.
Huh?
So you were more regretful of seeing the first Transformers
movie. Well, the other two Transformers movies were science fiction, so I have an automatic...
obligation?
Yeah, obligation to see science fiction movies. I don't have an obligation to see muscly, sweaty guys... in action movies. Yeah, right. Old, muscly, sweaty guys in action movies.
All right, fair enough.
No, reason that's, why they, that's fair enough. They messed up. They missed two actors in that movie.
So let's have Herman's opinion first.
They missed two actors.
Did you guys see the movie?
Yeah, I saw it.
All right, Herman saw
it. I see that old movies at home.
Oh, wait till you get a load of this. I know what Herman's going to say. He's actually right about this, but go ahead.
They missed two actors they should have put in the movie, Carl Weathers and Mr. T. That would have completed everything.
Yeah, but then their careers would be crap too.
I'm just saying, you want to, you're putting,
I'm just kidding.
Van Damme in. That guy looks like he got burnt. Wow. Or got hit with a all fist right. too much. Or
all right.
And it's Steven Seagal I should have put in because that was awesome. He was like the tail end of all that, you know.
And, but
garbage.
He, Steven Seagal and Van Damme hate each other.
That would have been great.
And Seagal and Van Damme both refused to be in the first Expendables.
Yeah.
Until
he became a hit.
Van Damme was quoted as saying that he did not feel his character was developed enough, so that's why he didn't do the first movie. So I don't know.
Like all the other characters in all the other movies that he played all by himself.
Like Van Damme, let me give you a hint. Paycheck. You know?
Well, you know,
I like the Van Damme movie. What's her name?
I like
Rosanna. What's her name?
He still does, you know, some movies. It's just they're all directed to DVD or video as they may be. Direct to Netflix. But now that he got his, now he's in this movie, his career kind of is a little.
Yeah.
Little
well, I got to tell you, he was, as the bad guy, I thought he was very good. He was very believable. I hated him as the bad guy. So
yeah, I thought he did a very good job as a bad guy. Yeah. And you wanted them to get him. I mean, that's obviously the entire point of the entire movie. Yeah. If you watch the credits, if you watch the trailers, basically it's, as Stallone says in that one line, you find him, you track him, you kill him.
Yeah.
That's all it's about. Van Damme plays a bad guy. They upset at him for some reason. And they go after him.
I like the other line. We should be in the museum.
We're not, you know, this movie is not Shakespeare. This movie, for lack of a better term, it's like a high
Wait,
school
what?
Reunion.
It's not Shakespeare.
It's like a high school reunion.
Wait a minute.
The first movie was a reunion. Let's
you
say
didn't
you're
feel
20,
you were watching Shakespeare?
Your 20-year reunion. You know, it's just good to see the old guys get back together and do their thing that made them famous
was
in the first
good
place.
To see them get back together?
I thought it was very good to see them back together. It was very entertaining, the original one.
It was
ridiculous, the movie itself, because I'm sitting there like, oh my God, this doesn't make any sense at all. But because
but
of what it was.
Because,
that's why I didn't see the second one.
Because of what
you
it was.
One more guy, Predator.
Because of what it
was.
Itself.
Not the guy who played the Predator. Just the Predator.
Because
Kevin
of what
Peter
it,
Hall is dead, though. The guy who played
because
the
of what it was, you know, it was just he something good to see. It was nice to see them together. I kind of put this to the same lines as when they had the 10th anniversary of Power Rangers. Just they brought back like the original cast members, put them all together.
Power
it was
Rangers
great
again.
To see them together. You know, they did their thing. That was it. Half an hour, they were done. Then they did it again for the 15th year anniversary, and there's a little more story, a little more, you know, character development, but it's the same thing. You can see the guys come together. They try to improve on what was done before.
If I'd seen the 10th year anniversary of Power Rangers and then was still around for the 15th year anniversary of Power Rangers, I would have blown my brains out.
And now we're actually at the 20th year anniversary, which they're going to be doing something special.
It's still an opportunity to blow your brains out.
So the second movie is like the 15th year anniversary, having them all come back together. They bring a couple extra guys who didn't want to come in for the first reunion because they weren't sure it was going to be good for them. It was nice to see them all together, and there was one scene at the very end where they had a wide shot of all the characters in one
right.
one thing, and I was like, that's just awesome, just having them all together, something that as a kid I never thought would be possible. I would never see Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, you only had to wait
Stallone.
30 years.
Well, it was, I thought it was worth the wait. It was just great seeing them all together.
It was like, was it like seeing the two Voltrons together? Was it
exactly.
like that?
Exactly.
Was it that experience?
It was, yes, because, you know.
Even though that was horrible.
It was horribly done, but just to see them together, just having them together was a great thing. That being said, I felt that the second movie wasn't as good as the first one. It felt like,
ooh, really? How could that be?
It felt like because Stallone wasn't directing this movie, he had more time to star in the movie.
Well, he
which
directed
took it
some of it
away from
had,
giving
the
everybody
more he
else
was in
a
it,
chance
was
to shine. The guy
he
who
didn't
did
break his neck in this one.
No,
apparently he was
no, he was fine.
Yeah,
he
wasn't
right.
on steroids in
he
this
was
one.
Fine. No, he wasn't on steroids. He was fine. So having I felt that having him in it more gave the other characters less chance to shine. And also, they focus more on just shooting stuff as opposed to the actual fighting scene.
Which I thought was great.
Listen.
I thought that I came in to see. I didn't come, as I said, when, if you guys remember way back when, when they we just mentioned that there was going to be an Expendables. Right. If you remember, my comment was like, oh my God, a total IQ of one sewer cap.
Yeah.
I said, but that's not what you're going to see.
Right.
You're not going to see intelligence. You're going to see an action flick. All these guys were action stars.
Yeah.
Not one of their movies was not based on action.
Yeah, but
which
Tom,
was not, see, wait, which was not based on action. This was an action movie. I went in to see an action movie, the two Expendables.
Right.
I went in to see an action movie. I was not disappointed. Plus the fact that even in the second one, there was more of my action,
right,
my action stars in there. And they do make fun of themselves about being old.
Yes.
And it is campy. But I didn't go in with my brain. I went in to see an action flick, and that's what I saw, and I was very satisfied. The beginning of the movie, I was satisfied.
Yes,
with.
I mean, I've never, it was first one never too. Seen so, so many heads getting exploded.
Oh my God! And I love
such a short amount of time.
And I love, and they did that effect.
Yeah,
he got the same special effect I had to as in the last Rambo, because I love that realism. I love that realism of when somebody gets shot and you see things flying around.
Pieces.
It was like very real. I liked it.
No, what
well, I guess
saying,
Herman goes.
What Charlie's saying? What Charlie's saying?
Oh, you're done?
Tell me what Charlie's saying.
No, I'm done now.
Tell me what Charlie's saying.
I only have an hour.
Tell me what Charlie is saying.
Hassan's right. You know why?
Because, you say anything.
Because no, Hollywood is scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh,
no, listen. Stop. I like the movie. Don't get me wrong.
Hassan didn't say anything, but you're
Hassan's right.
I heard Hassan say Hollywood is scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Well, Hassan's trying to say that he didn't want to go see this movie because Hollywood's scraping the bottom of it. They have no actors, no like action actors. So they have to say, well, whoever's making money 30 years ago, let's get these guys back. You know, Airplane 2, they were right about Airplane 2 when they saw Rocky 14, the poster, the old guy, you know?
Yes.
Now, they were right. They foreseen it the way Hollywood was going, you know, the Zucker brothers. They foresaw.
They didn't make the second movie.
Whoever made the second movie, all right? But they're catching on old fossils, and it's bad. It's embarrassing for Hollywood because Hollywood don't have no new action blood actors. Who they got? Colin Farrell. That guy's horrible. You know, who they got? The guy from Twilight's gonna make an action movie. He's a rich guy now. Whatever, the guy in Twilight. What's the guy's name?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are pretty boys, so they gotta get tough guys. They don't look like action actors, but it's bad they have to dig up fossils and make money again and beat an old horse.
That's exactly
well,
what I was
you're
saying.
Absolutely, Herman, you're absolutely wrong.
wrong?
Because about this movie, you're not wrong about...
I'm not saying I didn't dislike this movie.
We're talking about this movie. You're wrong because... You're right in the way that when we always agree on this, Hollywood doesn't have a fresh idea in their head.
Or fresh
but
action hero.
This was a novel idea. A bunch of the old favorite action heroes get all together in one. It's like the big Avenger of old time action heroes.
Pretty
the
much.
Avenger movie. And it's not made for anything but to be an action movie.
Right, Charles.
The people in it make fun of themselves for being old. And they put new blood in there, and it works.
I'm agreeing with you on that fun type, you know, leave your brain at the door. But I'm talking about, like, Shia LaBeouf, he's going to be your new action.
No. We're talking about the Expendables.
Yeah, they have no new action actors. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So they have to rehash. I almost said it.
Well,
you
know,
well,
Chris
Hemsworth is going to be an action hero, and his brother Liam.
But anyway,
in the movie,
I know what you're saying. Charlie.
Again, there. Now you go see this movie.
I like the
movie. The movie is great. It's an action movie. You go in to see an action movie. You get what you pay for. If you're going to sit there and go, "Oh, that can't happen," No. I'm saying, Herman. I didn't say you said it. If you're going in as the public, oh, that can't happen. That can't. You're right. It can't. They can't be. I'm not going to give the movie away, but they can't be in several situations, dead in the water, and things that happen. But we're not going into, you know,
details
to with our brains. We're going in to see that stuff. We're going in to see them get out of the impossible situations.
All I'm saying
because
is
they're who they are.
Hollywood.
They're the action figures. I know what you're saying, Herman. You said that this movie.
No, I didn't say it. I said that Hollywood has to dig up old actors to make money at the box office. It's just like when Clint Eastwood did Dirty Harry. He was coming out of the Western films, the Tang Western films, right? He said, now all of a sudden he's Dirty Harry. It took time to grow on the audience, but he was a newcomer, a new action hero. You know, they tried it with Jason Statham. That's why they had to put him in this movie because he's a new coming action actor. You know, movie, this guy.
You have to look at this.
What about Jet Li? Jet Li, one of my favorite martial art people in the world.
You have to look at it this way. The fourth Indiana Jones movie was basically the same thing. It was just to see them all get back together. That's why you really can't.
Yeah, but that one was actually good.
Nah.
Well, that was a clever movie. You know why? I told you, Mark, what happened in the first movie?
No. See, there's nothing wrong with that movie. The problem is that people just didn't like. They weren't set ready for the nostalgia. They didn't want to see him old or whatever. And there was little incident with the monkeys. But there's nothing wrong.
Monkeys, refrigerator, all that stuff.
No, there's nothing wrong. Yeah, you're all right with the refrigerator. You don't like the refrigerator, but he can jump out of a plane in a raft.
Yep.
Absurd. Why? Why was that fine?
Because at least they showed the actual raft floating down. You know, there's no one inside. You can see the raft make it all the way down.
Yeah, but it hits rocks and water.
In this one, it's an explosion. An atomic explosion.
Okay, now
he survived.
Hold on. Let's just take a minute. Let's take a minute. Are you saying that it doesn't make any sense? You're saying it wasn't good because it was plausibly illogical. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that visually speaking, I can see them throw the raft out.
Fantasy.
I can see them throw the raft out the plane, right? And I'm sitting there like, they ain't in that raft. But it's kind of cool. That raft actually is thrown out. You don't actually see.
So the scene wasn't good.
I don't believe.
Wait, the scene wasn't good because you didn't see.
It wasn't believable to me that the refrigerator would have been blown free from.
So is it believable to you that a guy can say chant and then reach into some guy's chest and pull his heart out?
I'm not talking about anything but those two parts. So
you're saying what's plausible? The things that worked that were plausible versus what were not plausible.
In one scene, we're talking scene for scene.
Okay, so then were the other Indiana Jones films good compared to the fourth one?
I wasn't crazy about Last Crusade, but it was still a good movie.
Okay, so they were good. So the other three were good, you're saying?
They were good.
Okay, so now, let's go back. So a guy reaches into another guy's chest after saying a chant, pulls out his still beating heart. That's not implausible to you. That's not ridiculous.
Not if we're comparing.
You were able to buy that.
You brought up.
Yeah, you were able to buy it.
To the refrigerator.
No, I'm bringing. I mentioned that if you're talking about it being absurd. That is an implausible argument because the entire series was absurd. So you're citing one, you're nitpicking on one thing and you're saying
I'm
it makes it bad.
On one thing, but there were many things that made that movie bad.
That's the thing you brought up. So with your own using your own logic, that's what you brought up.
If you're going scene for scene, that's one for one. But there was no Fonz in the other movies. Fonzie doesn't belong in any other known movie. Fonzie was portrayed by my archenemy Shia LaBeouf.
Fonzie.
First of all, it was the 50s, so they're going to be Fonzies. That's where the
Fonzie could have been somewhere else. Indiana Jones.
That doesn't make the movie bad. That just means you didn't like it. That's a reason you didn't like it.
But
you're saying that the movie is bad.
No.
You said the movie is. You didn't say to me. You said it was bad.
It was.
If you had said it was bad to me, then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
But everything that anybody says is always
But you have to preface it.
You don't have to because
yes, you do
automatic.
Because one instance it's a statement of fact, and the other one's a statement of opinion.
If you say this movie was good or this movie was bad, it was good or bad to me.
No, you have to preface it.
No, you really don't.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You'll ask. You know what? Ask anyone, and you'll find out the answer to that question.
Herman.
What?
We'll ask anyone.
I'm anyone now.
Yes, you're anyone. You're in the studio. Does Hassan have a point?
Yes, he does, because it's a fantasy film, at first. Okay?
He's on the wrong.
Right. And you missed the whole point of the whole series.
Wait, it's a fancy film or it's a fantasy,
fantasy
film?
Fantasy.
Okay.
Adventure fantasy. Okay? Now, he says that you could pull... I want Hassan to pull your heart out of your chest right now.
No, Herman, here's the thing.
Completely different.
Here's the thing. I said, if you say something bad, if it's just your opinion, you have to say that's my opinion.
Right.
And you if you say it's bad, then you're making a statement about it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
And now,
you didn't understand the whole series.
That if you do not always have to say my opinion is. Because everything you say is your opinion.
I think you do. Everybody says it.
And you said to ask.
Everybody says it. My humble opinion. Everybody prefaces everything with a humble opinion. We asked him. He agreed with me.
He agreed on a completely different point.
No, but then I clarified the point, and he agreed. So ask Charlie. Ask someone else. Ask someone completely different.
Do you understand what Lucas and Spielberg was trying to do?
Somebody's asking me.
That's your fault because you woke him up.
No, not really, because I said
you should ask anybody else.
All right, let's ask anybody else. Charlie.
Wait a minute.
Yes, Mark.
Do you agree with Hassan that whenever you say an opinion, it should always be prefaced with "this is my opinion" or "to me" afterwards, even though the fact is that everything you say is an opinion?
I think you should say, in my opinion, like I said, this was an action movie. I went in to see action. I saw it. I liked it. I think you don't speak for the world. I think you have to
don't drink the punch.
And there'll be several hundred people who agree with you and several hundred people who won't agree with you. But I think everything I say, I will say in my opinion, or, you know, I went in to see an action movie, and that's what I saw, and I'm good. If you go in to see something else, then, you know, take it as what you're going in to see. But, yeah, I agree that you have to say, in my opinion, or I didn't like this.
Fair enough. So the peanut gallery agrees with Hassan.
Yes, and I've
and in my opinion, I believe
an esteemed member of the peanut gallery for all these years, and a member of the peanut gallery Hall of Fame.
So going back, it is like going to see Indiana Jones, just to seeing everybody get back together, which made it an enjoyable. It was an enjoyable thing to see it form in front of you. You know, having everybody together was a great thing. And they don't need to do much because of the type of movie it is. You know, in the old days, all they did was show up, blow up some people, set a couple of catchphrases, have a nice day. That's what they did in the old days.
That's not true, though.
In the old action movies?
No. I mean, every movie had a premise. Every movie had, like, a serious point. Like, Predator had a premise, had a depth of premise. So did even Commando. And certainly First Blood, which was technically the first action movie, that had an amazing
great movie
field of emotional, you know, continuity to it. So you can't – there were no – I mean, eventually it did – the genre did degenerate. But, I mean, even as far up as to 1987, to Die Hard – that was one of the most realistic action movies, and it redefined action movies after that. Everything became a carbon copy of Die Hard after that. So you can't really just say, oh, they were mindless and things blew up and then, you know, everybody said one line and went home, because that's not quite what they were. The problem I was having with the films is that that's what they had become. And you, with that many with that much star power in it, you would have expected something a little more. I also, as far as the first one was concerned, didn't like that they focused so much on Jason Statham. You know, Jason Statham and Sylvester Stallone, because there were other cast members, and I figured you brought them all this entire ensemble cast together for a specific reason, so we could see them all together. So that for you to focus on these two people, were, you know, kind of made it. You know, kind of cheapened it for me, which it wasn't really that great a film.
Which I
well, it's the same formula as
which is why I didn't
it's the same formula as the Magnificent Seven, as the Dirty Dozen. If you remember the Dirty Dozen,
well, yeah, you're going to focus on a few. But right. I mean, see the thing about the Magnificent Seven and the Seven Samurai, which is just pretty much the same movie, and they're both brilliant movies. I don't have anything against either one of them. The Magnificent Seven was like a premise. It was these characters were there based on this really intense premise of defending this village from these bandits, and you know, probably all going to die. We're all kind of useless and burned out and crusty anyway, and we don't have a place in this world. So why not die here defending? So that's that premise in and of itself is very heavy. And so, yeah, every now and then you're gonna pick a couple of characters that you're gonna focus on, and the rest is gonna be like satellite characters. That's fine, but that's not the Expendables. The Expendables is like a franchise. Seven Samurai was, and Seven Magnificent Seven was until they made the Magnificent Seven ride again.
Oh God,
whatever. Yeah. But it wasn't a franchise. It was a one shot. It was a drama piece. It was a very poignant drama
story
piece.
Driven.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to tell me that that was the reason.
Well, what's ironic is that one of your main complaints that it was focused too much on Stallone and Statham. This one, I agree with you that it focused too much on Stallone being in his movie.
Schwarzenegger?
No, I think they felt that. I felt that because they used up so much screen time with Stallone that it took away from everybody.
And you've got
one
good film too, Professionals. The Professionals.
To me, it's good to see the owners of Planet Hollywood doing something other than running a corporation.
That's funny.
This second movie, it's like you have a guy who's a entertainer, and he's a prop comic, right? We'll go like Carrot Top. It's the one I think off the top of my head. Prop comic. But as opposed to him doing his jokes and then whipping out the props, he comes to you, he has a big table, and he lays out all his props in front of you. And you're looking at this stuff like, wow, look, well, I wonder what he's going to do with this, or I wonder what he's going to do with that. You know, I wonder what he does with this. And then he only uses like one or two, and then he puts everything away. You're like, well, what about the dancing hamster? I wanted to see the dancing hamster. So I felt that he didn't utilize everything he had at his disposal by focusing too much on himself.
It's like, look, I got all these guys together. Now you're going to come to the movies to see how they interact. Oh, I didn't really use as many as
In the first one.
Gotcha.
In the first one, the main Stallone fight, he was losing the fight.
He lost the fight, actually.
So I was like, wow. You know, he was humble enough to
and
let
the other
guy. And
he actually said he got his butt kicked. He actually made a point of saying he got his butt kicked.
Yeah, so he's like, let me let the other guy do it. And then he has some other guys, you know, two-on-one fight.
Although he really lost that fight because he broke his neck.
Right. Mark, you see what Lucas does, like in Star Wars trilogy, how he paces everybody?
Yeah.
You know, and everybody has a shot at screen time.
Right.
I mean, that's what Hassan's trying to tell you about, you know, focus on what if they just focus on Darth Vader and that's it?
Don't say anything.
That's sort of whatever.
You know what I mean? But the way Lucas paces his villains and his heroes, you know, in Star Wars.
Right.
Everybody had a chunk.
They should have had. Yeah, but then again, it might have been a problem of oversaturation. If you have too much stuff, maybe you wouldn't be able to have everybody do something in the film.
Well, I kept thinking about was, and I'm sorry that I don't remember his name, but the black gentleman in The Expendables.
Terry Crews.
What?
Terry Crews.
Yes.
He played Hail Caesar.
Let me tell you something. All I keep thinking about is White Chicks with him and how much I loved that movie and was hysterical when he had his scene.
He was
fabulous in that. And you know, all I see when he does, I just enjoy, whether he has one line or two, just what he does, he just shoots up the
His comedic timing is really good for someone that big.
Yeah.
You know, the guy kind of terrified.
That was brilliant. His comedic timing is brilliant.
And I guess that he's perfectly happy.
Right guard commercials?
Yes. He's perfectly happy making a complete, you know, idiot of himself in anything he does. There's been times.
He's making money.
but not in this film.
Funny.
This one actually, I thought that him, although he didn't have as much action scenes, he had more character development scenes. And Randy Couture, they actually had some dialogue going on.
He had more class than all of them because he was the cook. He was make sure his food was.
And they were
when they were hitting on
the girl. You know, I thought that was nice, and it was nice to have that in there. But if you're going, like I said, you're going to see the action movie, you want to see everybody doing stuff as opposed to just walking in, shooting somebody, and then walk away.
Right, you're lucky I saved your butt.
Which, actually, that happened like three or four times, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Look, we're saved your butt again.
We're in trouble. Hey, and then the guy comes in.
I'm
blah, blah, blah,
back.
And like, oh,
we're in trouble. We're all going to die. Ho, hey, look at this.
Good thing I saved your butt.
And
hey, credits.
But, you know, the whole build up of the fight between Stallone and Van Damme was something I was looking forward to, and I felt that it wasn't enough. And even so that Van Damme himself in the movie said, "Is that all you got?
Yeah,
I want my money back."
And then it's like I'm thinking after it was over, I'm thinking, you know, Peggy Lee, is that all there is?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, like, that was Van Damme.
Yeah.
And wow.
Van Damme made one of the greatest action movies ever made, which was Time Cop. I still think Time Cop is a fantastic movie.
But it's
dated as heck. Don't watch it now. It's dated. Oh, my God. The special effects are horrendous.
It's not a good movie.
I compared that fight scene with Stallone and Van Damme as the same thing as when Robin was versing Kato.
Really?
Like Robin would have beat Bruce Lee.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have less than 3 minutes to go. So
yes. I hope Hassan, these are not my final thoughts.
I know Hassan didn't see the movie, so and I know we probably didn't convince him to see the movie.
No.
All right, so Hassan says no.
That'll Herman, be DVD, baby.
Yes, Herman, any final thoughts?
Do you say just people should go see this movie or not?
Yes.
Go see the movie. Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
After yelling about Hollywood and all that stuff,
I like the movie.
Great action flick. If you want to see an action flick, this is your movie.
I would say if you want to see an action flick, go see The Raid. But this was a good one.
Well, we weren't covering that.
Well, it's a good reunion movie to get everybody together, so go see it.
Total Recall.
Yes, that was another.
Go see Total Recall. No one's watching that. Go see it.
It's garbage.
They should go see this one. So that about does it for this week. I'm It Came From Radio.
Join
us and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of this show, go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and you can catch our archives, which will be up in a week or so, which they're back up right now. I should say.
Yeah,
so hooray.
Yeah,
they
right.
are.
Yeah,
hooray.
Right.
And make sure you pay attention to our show. And go to our Facebook page for the announcements of the contest. And, of course, the model search for Character Sunburst. And we will see you next week.
Take it.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.